voice actor, live actor, musician, and all-around very awesome person. Guys, today I'm talking to Triple Threat Jeremy Shada. We've got a lot to talk about, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh. Okay. This is Kissophobic.
Yes, it is.
By your band.
By my band, Make Out Monday.
Make Out Monday. Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned at the top, Jeremy Shada, whose voice you're hearing, guys, does so much stuff. I hope we have enough time to talk about all of it.
I think we can. We'll speed through it.
We'll get to
all the different areas.
We can be timely and thorough.
Perfect.
I think both of us are fairly fast talkers.
Yeah,
so that's
100%.
Good.
When I need to be, I am.
When you need to be. And Jeremy is good at needing to do things with his voice. It's a weird way to say that he is a very well-known voice actor, guys, among many other things.
Yep.
For those of you who have seen Adventure Time, I'm sure that's a lot of you, Voltron, which people are obsessed with.
Voltron, yeah, is absolutely insane. The fan base from Voltron is crazy. Y'all know who you are,
you
crazy Voltron fans.
A lot of our listeners definitely do, because our network specifically has a huge Voltron following.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a good zone for you to be in today, Jeremy. Before we dive into the interview, guys, I should let you know that my name is Jeff. If you guys want to find me online, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. And Jeremy, it's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here today.
I want to start by talking about Mr. Student Body President, because season 2 of that just dropped. This is an exciting role for you because you've done a lot of live action stuff, but this is like a series regular lead live action.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it. I really liked it.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
yeah.
I like doing it. It's very much fun. It's a lot of fun, and we put a lot of work into that show.
Yeah.
And it is definitely like a lot of me. So.
It's a lot of you, yeah. I put together a log line for this show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it on air. You can tell me how accurate you think whether or not.
Yeah, let's hear it. I'm curious.
So I watched Mr. Student Body President. To me, this is a smart political satire that follows your character, Tyler Prendergast, as he tries to maintain power and order as the president of Brenninger High School.
Yes, Behringer. So cool. Hey, pronunciation, we were just talking about this earlier, is one of the hardest things, especially with like made up words too at times.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult. It's
and
hard.
It is. And on that show too, we have like such a huge cast.
Yeah.
And the hardest part is like we first started doing the show, we had like, in the first season, we probably had at least, I don't know, 30 people playing like the various students at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're learning like the people's actual names and then also their character names in real life. So it's like 60 names floating around, and it is so hard to get them all correct and
remembered. Plus your crew and your directors. And
it's impossible. And then when we did season 2, we added definitely even more. And we actually, with season 2, we basically shot season 2, 3, and 4 all back-to-back, which actually, if you're watching, those are actually all now out. They're all streamable. They like dropped, like surprise dropped them. Like
it's awesome.
Within 2 weeks. So they're all out. But then we had an even expanded cast, and so you have basically, I think, we had close to just under probably 100 named speaking roles throughout those like 30 episodes. And it was just
the show's a whirlwind. And I want to let you guys know quickly, it's on Go90, which is Verizon's streaming app. And everything is free, you guys. So I was telling Jeremy, there's all these amazing shows on Go90. Mm-hmm. I got to interview Tommy Dewey, try saying that 10 times fast, and Tug Coker, whose show Look Who's Talking is on Go90. That's hilarious. There's a lot of really good stuff, including this show. I do want to talk about, you mentioned the ensemble. You mentioned all these speaking roles. This show is pretty demanding for actors. You guys are, I mean, the dialogue is banana pants fast.
It's fast. It's snappy. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the shooting schedule is like, it's such a fun show. I love doing it. But it was definitely intense at times because we would like, you know, you get there in the morning and we're shooting like, you know, probably 12 to like 14 hour days.
Yeah.
And like, I would literally be shooting all day, drive home, get some like food, either like if just that I had in my house or like quickly, like basically just pick something up. And then I would just be like eating my dinner and looking at like the sides I have the next day and already have to start memorizing them, go to sleep, get up super early, drive to set, and then just work. And so like you'd be 5 days on, 2 days off. And so like the 5 days on,
jeez,
I felt like I never even left the set because there's so much like homework even when you're there.
Yeah.
And for me, Tyler talks fast.
Oh,
he has monologue after monologue, paragraphs of, and it's not like, it's not always conversational dialogue, which sometimes is easier because you're just, you know, going back and forth.
How are you?
Yeah, exactly. But this stuff is just like, you have to just know it to get through it quickly. And it's like, you know, political jargon and all these words. And so yeah, everybody had their work cut out for them on
it's,
that show.
It, straight across the board, nice performances, though. You guys are really handling this material. And you guys are young, too. I don't want to discredit you because of your age, but, like, I don't know. You might be even too young for a show like The West Wing. Did you watch that show at all?
I never watched it, but okay. I know exactly what it is. And that was a huge, I think, inspiration for our show. The two creators, Jack and Ryan, West Wing was one of the big ones.
I'm
and
sure.
then, obviously, House of Cards, because, you know, any, like, a current political drama, that's always up there. And so I think they were kind of like, oh, it's like West Wing / House of Cards in the high school mm-hmm. as a comedy. It was kind of always their pitch. So.
That's good. So I sense that. And mm-hmm. the reason I bring that up is because all of you are nailing it. And you talk about actors like Allison Janney, who got her start on the West Wing. You guys know, just won an Oscar for Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. Or no, for I, Tonya.
Yep.
She would even say, like, this is a really hard, demanding role. So I want to credit you. Not only is the show really enjoyable, but you guys are doing really nice work on that show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
That's always the goal when you're shooting it. You're like, oh, we think this is awesome. And then sometimes when you see stuff like get edited together, you're like, oh, it felt like it was so much better. But yeah, getting to see it all back, we're like super proud of it, super happy with it. And the rest of the cast too is also awesome. I mean, you really have to, for that type of show, you have to have everybody be good, because it's really about, I mean, the ensemble. Obviously, I have like the most stuff, obviously, but like it doesn't work unless everyone's really on it. And so that cast, I love all those people.
Well, you're
awesome.
Doing walk and talks. It's very Sorkin.
Exactly.
You're ready for Aaron Sorkin.
Exactly. You literally have to do walk and talks. They're one take. Everyone has to be hitting their stuff, because like there's times and there's no coverage and it's just one long. And so that stuff, you just have to rehearse so much to the point where like when you're shooting it, it's almost like a Broadway musical or something. Like it's
stage.
Exactly.
So you mentioned you were looking at these edits, looking at different takes. Are you the kind of actor who actually likes watching yourself?
No. I mean, well, what I do like doing is I always try and watch everything I've done like once all the way through, because I enjoy getting to see how it all came together in the edit. And I'm also obviously a fan of the people I work with. And so I want to see how their performances came through, how it all came together in the end. And it's also easier to talk about a show once you've at least seen it, because you're like, oh, okay, this is how it came together. So this is what people are seeing, and so I can talk about it better. But usually after I've seen it through once, I try not to ever watch it again, because you don't want to get to that point where you're like starting nitpicking your performance or getting like very self-conscious about things. And so that's always a slippery slope. So I'll try and watch it once all the way through, and then that's usually about it.
Well, for those who haven't seen season two, for those who haven't seen season one or two, what's kind of the show and what's happening this season that you think would get fans really excited to tune in?
Oh my gosh. We have, so in the second season, we had like our second little season that came out in February, which is we kind of introduced two kind of antagonists. It's like this power couple, Chad and Deborah, who are like nobodies by themselves.
Chadebra.
Yeah, Chadebra. But then when they're together, they're like freaking just unstoppable. And so that happens, and then in season three it's literally all about the election between me and them, because they're basically running against me. And so it's fun in a political show to have an election season, and it's probably my favorite season. I love the craziness of it, and just how ridiculously stupid it is, the things that they're like debating about in the show, because they're just high school issues that are so inconsequential, but they debate about them and go back and forth with such like ferocity that it's ridiculous. But
well,
I think that's my favorite part.
I would love to say that hearing angry people discuss petty things loudly in front of a lot of people isn't relevant, but I have to.
It is.
I was going to say, like, do you feel like, especially given the current political climate, politics aside, a lot of the news that comes out of this administration doesn't feel like it's tied up in necessarily issues that matter. It feels like it's tied up in high school drama.
It's always weird, because whenever you're doing a show that has something to do with some way, shape, or form, like politics or whatever, it's always like you'll do something in like what they're writing or what you're acting at, like you're having such a fun time doing it, but it's like so kind of ridiculous, I guess, at times, the stuff that we're doing. And then you just see, I mean, then you'll like watch, you'll see the news and stuff, and you'll just see articles and headlines about whatever's happening in the world, and you're like, wow, I didn't even, okay, like it suddenly is almost more believable at times what you're doing. You're like, I would have thought this would be so ridiculous that never something like this would happen. And then you see stuff and you're like, oh, okay, it's not that far off. But yeah, it's always a weird place to be in when you're doing a show that's like that, because there's always going to be, even if it's unintentionally, there's always going to be some relevance to what's happening in, I guess, the real world. So it's crazy.
More and more so. So for those who are interested in what I think is an underrated, sort of slept on, very smart political comedy, you've got to check out Mr. Student Body President on Go90.
It's very fun. And the fun thing is we do really just, I think we honestly, we unintentionally, I think we really poke fun at like literally everyone. Mm-hmm. And you can see so many different characteristics of everybody in so many of the different characters that it really, it doesn't, I think the fun thing is it does feel like its own story. You don't feel like, oh, this person's just this person from real life. Like right. there's definitely qualities that you're like, that's from that person. But then you're like, but they have this quality that's very much this person. And so that's what makes it fun is really taking inspiration from all these different people, but then making these original characters that are still themselves unique and different.
Yeah, it's hard to do that tonally. A lot of shows can't. Like a lot of shows when they ramp up the satire, it kind of feels like it's its own thing, maybe not a world I believe, but like I think Glee did this pretty well. I don't know if you guys ever get comparisons to Glee at all.
Interesting. I don't think we ever do. I think usually when you just think of, you know, like, oh, like it's musical, so that usually people don't have that comparison. That actually is a really funny one to use.
Yeah. I think they both have sort of that intelligent ensemble thing where there, again, is our real emotional stakes and real characters, but clearly there's also some really fun satire.
Oh,
and that's
100%.
The stuff I love. So.
Exactly. And it is really fun. It's also the hardest stuff sometimes to act on set because when you're like a character who's treating something, and as the character, you're believing that what you're treating is super important and you're being super serious about it, but then like what you're saying is so dumb.
Yeah.
It's like so ridiculous. That's the hardest stuff not to break character because on the inside, you're giving this like intense speech about something that's so stupid, but you have to believe it with every fiber when you're acting it. And then you, of course, have your castmates that are on the other side of the camera that are like trying not to laugh. And so you're trying not to laugh. I think the hardest one to not break character was there's a scene where Tyler's talking about like, oh, everyone needs to be like okay with their bodies and just be free with all of it. And so he tries to basically like convince everyone that it's like, oh, just like, you know, love what you look like. And so he basically starts doing this almost like seductive, like striptease-ish. I put it in quotes because it's the worst thing in the world. But he has like I had to do a breakaway suit basically.
Yeah.
So he like rips the sleeves off and he like has like a like breakaway like trousers basically, rips them off. And it goes like super, super terrible. His one of his assistants, Blair, is playing like presidential music and is supposed to be like sexy music. And so it's like marching band music basically as this is happening. And it's ridiculous. But on set, there's no music or anything. So on set, the cameras are facing this way. It's just me. Like, all the crew and all the cast are on the other side of them just watching me. They're not even on camera, so they're laughing. It doesn't matter. And it's just me, like, looking towards camera doing this ridiculous striptease. And it's so hard not to break because I just see them all behind the camera just being like... And then I look over and there's our two castmates, Arden and Haley, who are in the shot, are doing their best not to try and laugh, but they're even just like kind of starting to laugh, like even in the shot and just like turning away. And so, oh my gosh, it's hard not to break.
Well, so I have to ask, for someone who's so experienced in the booth, you've done so much voice work, which I know a lot of you are waiting on that. We will get to it. What's that like to come on set and be asked to do a striptease? You know, you're lit, there are cameras everywhere, your whole cast. This isn't a voiceover booth. It's totally different. How was that?
It's a fun transition. I've done on camera since I started acting when I was probably about 5 or 6, I think. And that's where actually I got my start. And then it wasn't until I was probably 7 or 8 that I had the agency I was with. I started, I got with the voiceover department there and started going out for like radio commercials and little stuff. And then really found a niche in the VO world as well. And just that took off and I just worked there a lot as well. So I've been doing it for a long time, but it is like, funny because usually, you know, in voiceover you read the script and you're like, oh, this is so funny, but obviously I just have to voice it and you know have to be there. If it's a ridiculous thing, it's like contained in a booth basically. And then when you're doing it on camera, something like that, you're like, oh, okay, I just have to commit to this because everyone is seeing this. It's not just like the character that you're voicing, it's like it's basically you doing it half the time. And so it's just a different, I guess, mindset when you go in. For me, it's always like, it would be the most embarrassing thing, some of the things I have to act out, if you were a normal person. And you just have to take it and go, this is embarrassing. And the joke here is basically on me. So basically the audience is going to be laughing at me in this moment. And then once you're okay with that, you're like, then I'm just going to take it to its fullest extent and make it as funny as I possibly can. And then ultimately you're just laughing together basically.
Yeah.
Because you know it's ridiculous. And so for me, it's like, I don't care if the joke is at my expense in the show or whatever. Like, as long as it's funny and it comes across well, that's what matters. And so it's just a transition to, you know, it's more of an active thing when you're on set, obviously, than when you're in the VO booth, because, you know, when we're recording for a Voltron episode or Adventure Time episode, you know, we'll be in there for like, I don't know, 3 hours maybe.
Right.
And then when you're on set, you're shooting 12 to 14 hour days, like, you know, 5 days a week when you're shooting. And so it's much more like, this is encompassing my entire life right now.
Yeah.
And voiceover is more like week to week. Like I have my day or two per week that I'm recording. And then, you know, you have more off time.
I love to ask about that, because it's the same thing with like multi-cam actors who transition to single cam. Like for those of you who might not know the business, different forms of production just require a lot more of different talent. Mm-hmm. And this is like a single cam show. Yep. I'm sure there's a ton of setups. You guys are like, and 100. So much
and we're
dialogue.
Going through. Yeah. And we honestly, the amount that we were shooting, for single cam is actually ridiculous.
It's like 20 pages a day or something.
I think a usual, probably like a comedy or drama show, they're probably usually shooting like anywhere from like, I don't know, 5 to 8 pages a day.
Yeah.
We are shooting on average at least 10 to 12, which is pretty much double the the amount. We were literally shooting for the second, third, and fourth season. We all shot them back to back. We shot 30 episodes in 45 shoot days. Wait, no. Yeah. Yeah, 30 episodes in 45 shoot days, which if you're doing math at home, I'm not good at math, but if you're doing the math, it's basically about averaged out about a day and a half per episode.
Wow. That's crazy.
And they're only like 12-minute episodes, but that's still a ton. And so we basically would only have probably one or two takes per setup. And so you just have to rehearse the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get it when you're going. And then if we have like a camera rehearsal, you're shooting the camera rehearsal because you're hoping that ends up being a take. And so, yeah, you just have to really be on it. I mean, it's nonstop.
Yeah. Well, it's such good experience for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think this is a group of very, very talented on the cusp stars. Like, I think you guys are great. So check that out, guys. That's Go 90s, Mr. Student Body President, starring Jeremy Shada.
Yes.
And it's so easy to binge. If you're a fan of like the Netflix binge experience, this is the same thing. And they're even shorter. So
exactly.
Like,
you can binge through all of it very, very quickly.
It's great. And I highly recommend you would. I want to talk about, of course, your identity not only as a live actor, but also as a voice actor, because that is an essential part of your, I think, identity as an actor right now.
Yeah, 100%.
What I'm interested is you did start in live action, and you sort of have transitioned to VO, and I will say you've managed to, like, voice not only well-known projects, but, like, pretty consistently projects that critics, adults, and kids love.
I wish I could say that was intentional. You know, I wish I'd be like, oh yeah, I just picked that project because I knew it would be amazing. No, like, it's honestly, it's such a blessing to get to work on shows like that end up being that case. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea how people are going to take to something when you're doing it. And you can be putting your best foot forward. You can think the writing's great. And sometimes it'll not turn out great. Sometimes it'll still turn out great, but then people just don't take to it for whatever reason. And so it's so hard to, I guess, calculate what's going to be successful. And so as an actor,
you're pretty good at it though. Because
I guess I am. Yeah.
Batman, Adventure Time, and now Voltron. Like, everyone loves these shows.
I know.
I guess maybe you're doing an okay job too. Maybe that's helping.
Maybe that helps a little bit.
But what I want to ask you specifically is, did you feel like you had to do some mental identity shifting when you started like moving into voiceover work, or did you embrace it the same as live action?
Yeah, I think it's the same as any acting. You're just trying to do what's right for the character and what's right for the tone of the show. The biggest difference in... I got this... I'm stealing this from my friend, John DiMaggio, who plays Jake the Dog in Adventure Time. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Love you. He described it as being like... Voice acting is basically like acting with your hands tied behind your back at times, because you can't use... if I'm on camera, I can use my facial expressions. I can use the physicality of what I'm doing and wardrobe and everything to convey what's happening.
Tearaway suits.
Yeah, exactly. But with voiceover, you can't act on really your facial emotion. Like, you literally, you're conveying everything through just how you're saying a line or just how you're saying a word or making a noise. And with that, it's definitely a slightly different mindset. You have to really turn that on and off a little bit, and understand that you have to just convey everything through how you're saying a line. And a lot of people that are great, amazing on-camera actors will do voiceover, and it's a learning curve because they'll just kind of act it the way they would an on-camera show. And if you're looking at them in the booth, you're like, wow, that's a great performance. But then when you hear it back, it might sound a little bit monotone because a lot of it's conveyed in their emotional state and how they're inflecting and then just their expression. And so it's a little bit of a learning curve for them sometimes to understand that none of that comes into play, and it literally is just all through how you're saying the lines.
Interesting.
But then once they get it, you totally get it, and then you understand the differences. But yeah, it is a little bit more technical at times, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to talk, of course, about Adventure Time, because I love this show.
Thank you. Likewise.
One of my friends put me onto it and was like, "This. I know it seems like a cartoon, but like it's like such a funny, like emotionally warm, but like weird in the best way kind of show."
And it really has such a broad appeal, to just all age ranges, honestly. I'll have fans that are like super, 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 super little kids, and then they'll be there with their parents who are just as much, if not more, into it. And I've, you know, like literally everyone from like 2 to 92 can enjoy the show. And I think it is a kid's show, but I think with the best shows, even it always rises above what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so I think even though it's technically like an animation, it's a kid's show, I think it's just a great show, period.
Right.
You know, and I think, and that's always the best barometer for something that can be watched by multiple audiences, by multiple different
Stranger Things
demographics.
Too,
yes, exactly. Yeah. And you can really watch it with, honestly, anyone, and you can be getting different things out of it, and but still both be enjoying it. And it's one of those shows where I always have families come up to me, and the parents are always like, "Oh my gosh, we love this show! It's so fun to actually watch something with my kid that they are loving, that is not like terrible,
right?
That we're not like having to hate watching it, but we watch it because they watch it. Like we really all love it and get to watch it together, which is the best kind of show too. And so that's, I think we do that well with Adventure Time.
You really do, and the thing I love about Adventure Time is it's these subtle things that make the show so specific.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, kind of weird. And like, I'd love to know like what it was
really
like.
Really bizarre.
Yeah.
Super bizarre.
But that's why I love it, because it's like when, especially TV is such a factory, everything's the same. And Adventure Time has these sparkles of craziness that I love. But I wonder, like, when you're shooting this first season, are you like, who is this Finn the Human guy? What am I doing?
Oh,
like,
100%. I mean, honestly, the first season of any show, you're always trying to figure out, like, what is this? What really is the character? Like, what are we trying to do here? And then it's, like, super just multiplied on Adventure Time, because my older brother, Zach, had done the original, like, pilot or short when it was a short for Nickelodeon, and then Nickelodeon didn't pick it up to series, and then, like, 3 years later, Cartoon Network picked it up to series, and they just assumed that his voice had changed, I think. And so they just opened it for auditions. But me, we recognized it, obviously. I knew that he worked on it. And so I watched the original short, and my voice sounded pretty freaking close to what his did initially. I was more or less, we had that age difference about 4 years. So it was pretty much the same age. And so I just kind of even tweaked it a little bit and went in and went back a couple times, got the job. And nobody knew his younger brother until the first day of recording. They just thought they got, you know, ridiculously lucky with someone who sounded just like the original. But I had like a little bit of pre-knowledge of the show because of that. And so I knew that it was like really weird and really just kind of out there and stuff, but it had this kind of cult following. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, well, some people like this, obviously. But even then, when you started doing the first season, it was still just like, you know, it's this cartoon. It's really weird. It's kind of crazy. I'm screaming a lot. You know, my voice is cracking because I was 12 when we first started, recording it. And puberty hits you. Oh, good Lord. All like the voice cracks and screams in the first like 3 seasons are all not intentional. Those are all natural.
It's the best. It's
yeah,
so
exactly.
Thin.
And you can hear me growing up through the show, literally.
Well, that's,
but
I want to ask you about that too. Yeah. I hope I'm not interrupting, but that's so rare for a voice actor. Mm-hmm. Like all these kids age out of their roles.
Yeah.
Was that something you and your agent were pushing, or were you lucky enough that
I had no idea if they would or wouldn't, because like you said, I mean, it's super commonplace for kids that are doing like voices on shows to, after like, a, you know, 2 or 3 seasons, usually they'll get replaced because they don't sound little anymore or whatever. And so I kind of thought for a minute, I was like, I might get fired. Like they might just replace me. But we literally, someone asked that question at San Diego Comic-Con. We were all on the panel 1 year. They asked Penn that question. And they're like, so, Jeremy got obviously like replaced his brother, which isn't really that accurate. I mean, I kind of did, but kind of not. They're like, so, you know, once his voice changes, like, are you going to like replace him too? And this is on the panel, and I'm sitting there being like, in my head, I'm like, good question, dude.
You're like calling your
like,
agent.
Yeah. I was like, so Penn, yeah, what are we going to do here? And Penn, like on the panel, which is the creator of our show, he was like, no, we're not replacing Jeremy. He's like, if anything, we'll just let him grow throughout the show, and maybe I'll start, you know, giving him a little bit of a bigger belly or something. It's a joke. But like then I was like, phew, okay. And it is really cool because most shows don't allow the character to age.
Right.
And throughout the series, I think when you start, Finn's about 12 years old, And then I think by the time you reach the end or like the final season or so, I think he's 17 at least, maybe close to being 18. So you have a really, you get to see this character age and go through adolescence and grow up as literally my voice was aging and growing up, which is a really rare thing, but very, very cool.
Yeah. What do you feel like you've learned from Finn?
I've learned how to scream in the most ridiculous ways. I have learned that we're very similar. We're both terrible at math. I've learned that, man, relationships are terrible. Holy man. Especially when you're a teenager, they're so bad. No, I mean, actually that's all true. But, I think the great thing about Finn is he's really a character who is, I think he's pretty much all of us in a lot of ways. He really is just that kind of like your inner self when you're 12 and you're kind of, it's just that age when you're excited about things. You're very wondrous by the world, and you want to go explore, you want to go adventure, you want to go check out everything and get to know everything. And his world is just ever expanding. And it really, beginning of the show, he starts out and everything's very black and white. Everything's very like, this is good, this is evil, go slay the evil thing, cool. And then I love how the show even expands as he's getting older and everything becomes more blurry. Everything becomes more gray.
Right.
You know, the decisions he has to start making aren't always as cut and dry. There's always pros and cons to everything. And so I think the best thing that I've learned from him probably would just be that, doing the right thing isn't always the easiest thing to do, but it's still always like the right thing to do. And there's consequences, but I think he genuinely is a really just a good guy. He's a great character and he's trying to always do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the thing is just, he's not perfect. You know, he messes up, you know, right. He has definitely times where he makes the wrong decision, but he grows. And I think he's just very relatable and human, which is my favorite part about him.
He's the human.
He is the human. Yeah. No pun intended, but he really is. Right. I mean, you really see a lot of humanity through him throughout the show.
And I think the way you've mentioned the show's evolved, like I think just as you've grown and literally the show's embraced the idea of maturing into adulthood,
yep.
The show has allowed the morals of its universe to become grayer and more questionable. And like, that's just so beautiful. That doesn't happen on TV that much.
Mm-hmm.
So good stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, of course, it's not just Adventure Time, which is like this like culty hit that's agreed among.
Oh my gosh. I never thought, it was like, you always hope something's going to be big and successful, but you never know. And then that one just really just friggin' destroyed and blew up like worldwide too. Just all over. It was insane.
But the same is true for Voltron.
Yeah.
And we have to talk about this.
Oh, of course.
You gotta send those agents something nice.
Good old Lancey Lance.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Voltron. Another huge critically loved show. What's this been like to enter this universe? Because this is also like a fan convention driven costume. Like this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, every time I'll go to a Comic-Con for Voltron, just a Comic-Con in general, there's so much Voltron cosplay now.
Yeah.
But fans love it, and it's, it's also just blown up. It's crazy. Like, I knew that it was going to be a good show because I wasn't a fan of the original because it was just before my time. Like, I didn't know much about it other than it was like, oh, it was Voltron. You know, it was one of those shows like Transformers or Power Rangers from back in the day. And so that was my whole knowledge of it. But it was like a name thing, so they were like, oh, they're making it into a series, and I knew it was DreamWorks and Netflix, and obviously DreamWorks and Netflix do great work, and so I was like, oh, that'd be cool. But my biggest thing was it's the creative team behind like Legend of Korra and like Last Airbender, and those like favorite animations growing up, and so I was like, this is going to be good. But you still don't know if something's going to be, and then I think it was like, you know, you think, oh, it's Voltron, a lot of boys, a lot of guys and stuff, and which there is a huge fan base from that, but then there was like, whoa, there's like this teenage girl audience that loves this show? The cosplays and like goes nuts over it. Okay, crazy. And so, yeah, I never knew what to expect with it, but I have a character who I guess is a fan favorite character from what I've been told. They really love him, and I love playing him because he gets some of the funniest lines in the show. And it's nice playing someone who is very comic relief at times, but then also gets to have some really nice kind of sensitive serious moments. I get the best of both worlds.
You do. I'm glad you mentioned the girl audience because for those who aren't watching Voltron, we have a big after show fan following here.
Yeah.
Our panel is probably, maybe surprisingly, one dude and three
ladies. It's, or four?
Yeah,
or
it might just be the four.
I'm trying to think.
Might have five on the panel now.
Yeah.
But either way, you've been in here for the after show
before.
Yeah. We'll definitely get you back. Yeah, but it's just, I applaud your ability to, I know you're saying it's lucky, but you have to have a nose for that stuff. And you seem to have a good track record with the shows you're picking. So
well, it's also, I think, I love promoting and and shamelessly plugging the stuff that I'm in, I guess.
That's your
I think
job,
everyone
man.
Does. It's your job.
I was going to say, you're doing
it
your job.
It is so much easier to do it when you really do love the shows you're working on and you actually know, like, okay, we put something quality forward.
Right.
Because I feel like it would be just terrible if you're on something that you don't think is good, that you don't like, and you're like, yeah, go watch it. It's a show. I'm in it, and that's it. You're trying not to like lie and like tell people it's great when it's not. But
the lighting is amazing. I don't know if you've seen our crafty. They had pizza.
Wow, so good. Yeah, they had M&Ms. Really good craft services. So that's not the case with these, which makes it so much better. And I think a lot of it's right place, right time. At least with Voltron, I think I had a really good idea that it was going to be big before it came out and stuff, but you still never know like the exact amount of fan response. But I think that one I had the best idea with. Adventure Time was much more. I had no idea, because it wasn't like now you're like Adventure Time. Of course, that's a huge show. But before those types of shows come on, even Stranger Things, like there's nothing like it before it comes on. And so you don't have a barometer for like, I don't know if this is gonna do well. Like, what type of show is this?
I remember the day before Stranger Things dropped, the trailer had like 32,000 views.
Yeah.
And like, I knew about it because I need to know about this stuff for my job. But I was like, I'll check out this show. And I was on it pretty quickly. And I was man, like this
show. I think
show.
From the first sequence, and then the intro, like, oh my gosh. You're like, what is this show? This show is awesome.
It's
like
so good.
It just grabs you. And I had... it came out like that. Yeah, I knew nothing about it, and it came out, and I just saw some Instagram post from some fan or something that happened to had like already binged it, and they were like posting pictures from it. And I was like, "What is this show? Like, it looks like a kind of like almost like it's like it's a group of kids, but it has like kind of an '80s vibe. It's like very throwback." And so I was like, "All right, this looks interesting." And so I started just watching it out of nowhere. I didn't know anything about it, and it was like, "Wow, this show's amazing." And really I feel good. Like that's kind of the same with like even Adventure Time.
Yeah.
It's like, when people first started watching it, there wasn't something like it, and it was just like, wow, where did the show come from?
Right. Exactly. Well, we've talked about your nose for getting good projects, and another thing I want to talk about is, in general, you just seem to kind of have your head on straight.
Thank you.
Like, I'm like, young, long-working, good-looking actor. Why aren't you supposed to be, like, vandalizing something or, like, getting drunk and peeing in a cup in a stairwell?
Yeah,
or,
doing some stupid thing on a vlog that you get arrested
for. TMZ's supposed to have gotten you by now. Like,
they've been trying.
They've been trying.
Lord,
you fit that brand of seemingly nice guy who does a really bad... Like, how have you kept your head on straight?
You know, I think a lot of it is good family. I mean, I think that's first and foremost, at least for me. My family is always very, I'm very, very close to my family now, and they've always been very, very involved, and I love them to death, and they're just the best people. And they always just kept me grounded. It was like, no matter what your job is, it's still just, you know, it's something you get to do. It's something, and acting is a huge privilege. And so they always, you know, beat that over the head. Like, this is a huge privilege. Be very thankful for it. But it was still just like, but it's still just something you do. It's your job. Make sure that your life is not revolved completely around that. And I think that was always a huge thing. I have my closest friends, some of them are in the industry as well, but like a lot of my closest friends that I've known for years and years have nothing to do with entertainment at all.
Yeah.
I just grew up with them, and I think that's probably one of the best things. And it's just like having a good, real group of friends with you and just a close family who are not afraid to be like, hey, you're being stupid right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not okay. And not just being yes people all the time is probably the best thing that I can say. I mean, yeah, my closest friends I've like grown up and just know through my church and my family. I'm very close to them. And so I think it's just all about priorities. I think when you make sure that your job and acting, what you do, is not the most important thing in your life, I think you're better off.
That's got to be tough, though, because like I think this industry, people tend to overinflate. Like, I don't want to. Again, I think it's smart for you to know that you have a exciting career path, but it is ultimately just you're going to work the same people while they go to work. But how do you... I'm sure there's a lot of people trying to sort of put you on a pedestal sometimes.
Yeah.
And is that hard to sort of just deflate and just live your life?
Occasionally. I mean, like, I'm active on social media and stuff, and I like interacting with my fans. Obviously they're awesome and I love them to death, and I like to show off. I mean, not show off, but I mean, like, show like what I'm up to and what I'm doing and stuff.
Promote
as anybody.
You're proud of what you make.
But I think there's a nice, I think, blend of being you in public and then like your private life, and at least having some of that be still your private life, and not having everything be known about you all the time. I think that's a good separation. I forgot the question entirely.
Just like I like going to conventions, probably people are screaming. Like, and yes, you just seem to have a grounded humility, which
and you have to. The reason that I'm able to be successful and the successes that I've had in the shows is really because the fans watch them, and so. I think some people get to the point where they think, well, of course the show is amazing. I'm in it. You know, why, what is there not to like? It's got me in it. But like, if the fans didn't take them, the fans didn't watch the shows, they didn't love them with every ounce of their being, they wouldn't have gone on as long as they had, and we wouldn't continue to keep doing them. And so you kind of owe that to them to that extent. But then at the same time, when you're meeting people, you're just realizing that this is just other people. And so I'm careful not to... I'm always careful to make sure that people know, like, I'm just a normal person. Right. Like, I want to, and I want to make sure that whenever I'm meeting someone at a Comic-Con, they're having a great experience and they're getting, I guess, what they came there for, which is to meet someone they're a fan of, and have however many minutes they're talking to you, be great. But it's still just, you're a normal person. And so you never want to, I think the biggest thing that is a problem with people, even my age, is like, you can get a really big head really easily.
Right.
And you can almost get too big too fast, I think, and you don't know how to handle it. I think having grown up and started working from such an early age, and then having so many opportunities that didn't pan out, so many jobs that didn't go anywhere, thousands of auditions that you didn't get, I think having like years and years and years of just working to this point has paid off so much because I have such an appreciation for any job that I do end up getting because I know I went out on 100 things that I did not get. And so then when you do get one, you're excited about it. You're not like, okay, cool. It's this project I'm working on, whatever. Like you're excited. You want to put in 110% and make it the best that it can be. And so I think just having an appreciation for what you have and being thankful for it is probably the best thing that you can do and just trying to be humble. And it's not always easy, honestly. Right. I mean, there's times when you're definitely like, yeah, I did pretty freaking awesome in this show. Like, I'm cool right now. But then you're like, no, that's arrogant. That's stupid. Don't think like that. And having a girlfriend who can be like, babe, you're being stupid right now is also good.
If my research was right, and again, we're not TMZ, but she's a dancer with the LA Ballet.
Wow, you know. Okay. I know. You really did
trying to do my job, right? Yeah. Cool. So I love that it's nice that you sort of probably both work in the industry. So you have that knowledge a little bit.
The nice thing is, we have different jobs, but they're both still arts, I guess, and slightly, I guess, entertainment. And so I guess we both started kind of our careers from an early age, which is a nice shared experience, which is hard because most people have not worked as long as I have when they get to my age. And so that's always kind of a weird thing. They're like either still in college, just coming out of college, or still kind of figuring out what they want to do.
Right.
And so that's awesome. She's amazing. She's a super hard worker too. But great. Her being in ballet is cool. Because even for me, it's interesting because I don't fully know that world.
Right.
So it's interesting. Like, oh, like what goes into all that? But then it's still, I'm realizing like, wow, it's not too dissimilar from the
rejection, the industry specifics that only people who work in entertainment
can understand that, and the stupid things too. The ridiculous, like, okay, wow, that audition was terrible.
Right, for sure. Well, that's really cool. I think that's really wonderful advice. Mm-hmm. I do think, Jeremy, I could talk to you all day, man.
Oh, yeah.
But
I could as well.
Unfortunately, I think we have to start wrapping, but I want to talk about your band Makeup Monday.
Yes.
We opened up on them. Where you guys are doing some stuff right now. I don't know how much you can say, but things are looking like, where's Makeup Monday right now?
Yeah, we released our first like full length album, earlier this year, Visions of Hollywood. Go check it out. Which was for us is exciting. It's a few years in the work. Obviously it's been a lot. I mean, up to this point we're completely independent. And so we've done it all ourselves, which is a lot of work, but a lot of payoff. And right now we are, I think we're talking to a label right now, and I think it's gonna go through.
Okay.
And so for us, because of that, we should be doing some more recording for some new singles.
Great.
Pretty soon. We're gonna be re-releasing the album, and then because of that, hopefully doing some touring soon, either late this year or early next year, which we're excited about. And so we're just moving full steam ahead on that. So it's going very well. But getting anything off the ground in the music world, especially when you're by yourself for a long time, is just so not easy.
Yeah.
so much grind. Work. It's a grind. It's a grind. So you really have to love doing it.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are great, and I'm a musician as well. And I really like what you guys do. You know, I was a cruise ship vocalist for 6 months. Yeah,
I can see it. That's awesome.
It was me and three other guys from my a cappella group in college, and we tricked them into hiring us. I don't know how, but
you got the job.
We got the job exactly.
Hey, fake it till you make it. That is literally everything I've done in entertainment.
I love it. With that, fake it till you make it, guys. This has been Spotlight on here on AfterBuzz TV, guys. I had the pleasure of talking with Jeremy Shada.
Thank you.
I have a feeling our paths will cross again, but for now, it's been really fun to talk with you.
Of course.
You guys know him from Adventure Time. You know him from Voltron, which you should be watching right now. A lot of seasons of your stuff have just dropped because...
Yeah, Voltron Season 6, yes. Student Body Season 3 and 4, actually. Adventure Time, the final season's airing, I think, right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of plenty of stuff you can be catching him in, and you definitely should because, again, not only are you a good person, but the shows you're involved with are actually very good.
Thank you.
So, worth checking out. Jeremy, if they want to connect with you online, where should they do that?
Yes, Instagram and Twitter, both just at Jeremy Shada. No caps, no spaces. Super, super easy.
Awesome.
That's probably the best place to find me.
Great. So. And if you guys want to find me online, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. I host a show on Fridays, for those of you who like VO, where we table read unproduced pilots and features with a group of actors. Luckily, I'm not acting. I'm just reading the stage directions.
And you get to see why they were unproduced, basically.
Yeah. No, luckily, these are like up-and-coming award-winning scripts.
That's cool. Yeah. Like, this didn't work out, so we're going to try and see
why. I should be careful how I pitch that, because it sounds like we're reading...
It does.
No, we're reading like under-the-radar new writers who are winning like awards and
stuff. Oh, that's cool.
It's very different, but that's smart. I should be pitching it that way. Either way, maybe we can try to get you on that show. You're a VO expert.
Pick a really bad one. Those are honestly the most fun.
I'll talk to your people. You talk to my people, make it happen. But one more time, guys. My name's Jeff. This has been Spotlight On here at AfterBuzz TV. Check out us. Check out our after shows. Check us out on socials. We will see you soon. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great week, guys. Woo.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Right here. Hey guys, you've been buzzed!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.